What up, mother fixers and sister fixers? Welcome to Fix TMS, where the real talk gets real and you feel all the feels. I am once again without Sabrina karena dia tuh lagi pulang kampung lagi sama keluarganya, dan emang ini juga waktunya buat semuanya sama keluarga juga sih. But we're wishing her all the best. Can't wait for her to get back. But obviously, I'm not going to want to talk to myself this whole fucking time. So I'm just randomly asking people to come onto the show. Dan salah satu sahabat gue, kalau dia pasti gak mau ngaku sih kalau dia sahabat gue. Tapi salah satu sahabat gue yang buat gue tuh dia sahabat gue. He is a familiar face on Fix Productions. And I'm sure everybody who's listening to this is going to know who he is. He is basically an all-rounder. He's a host, he's a singer, he's an actor, he's a party boy, he's a... Udah gak party boy lagi sih, udah jarang keluar.
Yo, Corona, bitch.
And there he is just now. So everybody who has watched Fix Productions udah pasti tahu nih siapa. I'd like to welcome to the podcast Hans.
Hey, Nick. As if you'd never talk alone to yourself. Sabrina is with her family. Why aren't you with your family?
Wow.
You have nobody.
Kan emang buka gue nggak Islam ya. Ini kan waktunya buat orang-orang Islam yang sama keluarganya. Paling besok gue ketemu bokap gue.
Oh, well, I thought you're that lonely.
I have some friends. I have some friends. Anyway, mother fixers and sister fixers, gue mau welcome Hans karena kemarin ini gue sempat ngobrol sama Hans and. One thing Hans and I have always kept in touch with about is how things are changing and how you can change along with everything that is changing because of COVID.
A lot.
Dan menurut gue, Hans itu salah satu temen gue yang berjuang sih. Buat gue tuh kayak dari lihat awal-awal COVID sampai sekarang, I think Hans has really tried his best to kind of take what he can and work with what he has and just make the best out of his situation. He's working several different jobs, and Hans emang dari dulu emang freelancer. He's been a host and MC for years now, and he does jobs here and there. So I think this is just a really good way to understand, okay, gimana caranya gue tuh masih bisa kerja dengan apa yang ada di gue, and to also just try and be happy. And I think like Hans has done a really good job of that.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I kept on, you know, looking for jobs and doing anything that I do, because every time I see my bank account, it feels like very hurting inside. Kayak sakit karena aku masih miskin.
Nah itu.
Setiap gue ngerasa, okay, ini pandemi, gue bisa istirahat. Hey, bangun, kamu masih miskin.
Terus, nah ya, itu.
Gimana orang setiap pas pandemi itu kan semuanya masih jalan ya, tagihan masih jalan, cicilan mobil gue masih jalan, terus listrik juga nggak berhenti nagih, apa segala macem, kartu kredit juga masih ada, jadi mesti dibayar gitu kan. I'm no gadun, yo.
You know gadun, Nick?
You know gadun, Nick?
Gadun siapa?
You know gadun gak?
Gadun, yang tau, gue tau gading.
Gading Martin. Gadun?
Gading Martin, gadun siapa?
Gading Martin. Gadun? Gadun Martin lah.
Gadun tuh siapa?
You're actually married to a sugar daddy because you are a sugar baby. Lu tuh cabe-cabean.
That is not true. Gue tuh kerja loh. Gue kerja, gue punya duit sendiri, awas ya.
Cabe-cabean juga kerja nih semua.
Terus?
Mereka kerja, they are taking care of themselves, nyalon, keriting rambutnya.
Itu mah gak kerja, itu gak kerja, babe. Itu gak kerja-kerja, itu lo kerja buat orang. Kalau gak lo kerja buat diri lo sendiri.
Ya gitu deh pokoknya. Gue tuh kan...
Ya oke. Okay.
Gue bukan orang yang mentalnya dibayarin seneng gitu ya. Terus kayak gue bukan orang yang mentalnya kayak yaudah kamu manis-manis, aku biayain hidup kamu. Gue pernah nih nyoba kayak gitu. Kayak at one point gue cuman hidup dari allowance yang dikasih. ke gue gitu dari orang tua gue. Ini it's back in the days gitu. Terus gue ngerasa kayak apalah arti hidupku nggak ada guna ini. Kayak sia-sialah gue dikasih kekuatan dan tenaga kalau kerjaan gue cuman leleh-leleh dan gue juga kayak nggak betah gitu, risih gitu loh. Apa ya? Kayak kalau menurut gue kalau lo dibayarin atau lo hidup off of somebody's pocket, somebody's wallet, lo tuh punya kewajiban untuk comply gitu. Sedangkan gue kagak mau. Kayak ntar disuruh tolong beliin ini, beliin itu. Ntar jemput di sini, jemput di situ. Deh. Kalau mau jemput-jemputan nih lo telepon aja Grab or Gojek. Kayak gitu kan.
Iya ngerti sih. Ngerti.
Bokap gue, kalau di zaman itu kan karena I was living off of my daddy's my daddy's. My father's wallet gitu kan. Terus kayak apapun yang bokap gue bilang, kayak gue nggak boleh pulang lewat jam segini atau misalkan back in the days itu gue masih baru lulus bukan lulus kuliah kayaknya, lagi di tengah-tengah kuliah gitu. Terus gue disuruh pindah jurusan atau apa kayak gitu, gue nggak mau. Udah sekarang tuh lebih ke apa yang gue perbuat untuk untuk bisa tetap berjalan lah hidup gue. Sekarang tuh adik gue dan gue belongs to the sandwich generation.
Apa coba sandwich generation? Karena gue aja nggak tahu itu apa.
Nah, sandwich generation itu kayak lu tuh kayak di sandwich gitu, lu di tengah-tengah, you have to you have to be responsible financially for the generation below you and above you. Jadi karena gue mungkin nggak punya belum punya anak, jadi sebenarnya gue nggak legit dibilang sandwich generation, tapi adik gue karena udah punya my nephew, udah punya ponakan gue. Jadi disebut sandwich generations karena she has to be responsible for the kid and also my parents.
Her parents, your parents, right?
My parents, sandwich generations. Dah. Terus on top of everything, I have my own needs. I have my own things that I want. Tapi at the same time, I have to provide for my parents as well. Gitu. And this kind of time, karena the things have changed, kalau kata Elton John, circle of life, gitu kan.
Jadi,
circle of life, lu belum pernah denger nih? Gak pernah nonton?
Tahu gue. Gue tuh temenan banget sama Elton. Gue temenan sama dia.
Oh, gue kira lu temenan sama Mufasa.
Oke, terus?
Atau sama Pumba. Teman sama babi. Terus kayak gitu. Dan sebenarnya sih lebih karena antara terpaksa sama gak betah gitu. Terpaksa emang harus kerja sama gak betah nganggur gitu.
Nah, tapi sebenarnya yang gue mau nanya sama lo karena gini, waktu gue masih tinggal di Jakarta dan gue sempet kan juga when I quit my last job, gue sempet freelance juga. Dan lo sama gue tuh kayak in the middle of the day, gue lagi kerja di rumah, lo bisa ke rumah gue. Gue tahu lo kerja sekeras apa lo kerja biar lo masih bisa support your parents, you support yourself, you have to pay things like gas, you have to pay things like electricity. Gue juga tahu lo beli rumah. Dan itu kan sebelum pandemi. Nah, yang gue mau nanya sama lo adalah, kan a lot of the things that you were doing before has to do with events, right? Like lo MC event, lo MC wedding atau apa. Nah, sekarang kan a lot of things have changed. What has changed for you? Karena lo sempat yang kayak semuanya harus berhenti kan? But the way that I see you working now, you're still doing what you're doing, but you figured out a way to kind of be like, okay, well, fuck it. I still need to make money. Gue emang kayak tadi lo bilang gue miskin. Dan gue tetap harus kerja, walaupun gue bisa minta duit dari orang, cuman kayak, atau dari teman atau dari orang tua lo, cuman ya juga gak bisa kan, sebenarnya orang tua lo juga, they're retired and they depend on you and your sister. So, what has changed for you since the pandemic? Like, how have you supported yourself now?
during the pandemic atau sekarang when things are
setelah sekarang
setelah pandemi.
Well, during the pandemic ini sebenarnya kita tuh masih pandemic kan sebenarnya.
During the first quarter of the pandemic,
yeah, basically talk about like, okay, when it first fucking hit, how were you then? And then after a while you were like, I just remember lo tuh kayak fuck this shit, I still need to make money. Nek gue inget banget gue gue nanya sama lo, Hans, lo gak takut apa ya, lo pergi sana sini, lo masih ada event segala macam. And I remember one thing you told me, you were like, Nick, what am I supposed to do? We gotta live. We have to make ends meet. I need to make money. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, okay, that makes complete sense. Karena gini, kerjaan gue masih bisa kerja dari rumah. And I still get my paycheck, and it's fine. Berkerjaan, like, from people in your industry, I think, like, no, goddammit. No, damn it. Gua kan kerja lo, don't fucking give people the impression that I don't work. But, I mean, in your industry, people in your industry, in the entertainment industry, I think you guys had to make some adjustments. So how was that for you?
Yeah. Okay. So the things have started to come back, not to normal, but to crawl back to its position generally around July-ish. Udah mulai ada event yang ada yang offline gitu, yang tatap muka.
Yeah.
Tapi on a very limited restrictions, very limited people coming, and also because nowadays probably kita tuh udah tahu gimana caranya untuk ketemu orang tapi safely, let's say. As long as you wear masks, like both of you are wearing masks.
Social distancing.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I prefer to call it physical distancing, ya, karena social distancing, you're distancing yourself from the outer world and the connections to people, gitu. Gue lebih senang nyebutnya physical distancing, gitu. Although you're physically distanced, but you still have that connection. Anyway, terus. Okay. Ya kayak gitu-gitu loh, disinfecting, terus tetap cuci tangan, segala macam itu bulan ini zaman-zaman sekarang ini. Kalau bulan Juli Agustus, gue pribadi mulai ngemsi lagi tuh bulan Agustus itu untuk Kementerian BUMN. Terus apa yang sekarang gue rasain berubah sebenarnya, it's tightly related to what I've gone through during the first phase of the pandemic, gitu. Jadi, I figured out selama gua nganggur itu, kayak tadi gua bilang, itu dipaksa, lu bisa ngapain, lu bisa apa. And throughout those moments, gue jadi lebih ini loh, lebih aktif untuk ngegali apa sih yang bisa gue bikin, what could I do, what I could do out of my ability, out of my talent, gitu, yang like before this I've never thought of, segala macam gitu. Kayak akhirnya makin kesini lebih, gue nggak tahu, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Jadi kayak apa yang gue kerjakan sekarang seems never enough, dan I've been always telling myself to dig for more. To dig for more, gitu. Any possibilities, dan lebih banyak nyari options, bukan options. Lebih banyak opportunities, gitu. Lebih banyak nyari opportunities. Kira-kira gue bisa apa, gue bisa ngapain. Kalau sebelum pandemi kan kayak, okay, I'm doing events, I'm doing TV host, I'm doing voiceover untuk TV iklan gitu, atau juga iklan radio. Tapi apa ya yang bisa gue lakuin? Sampai akhirnya di masa pandemi kemarin, I found out that actually my talent is worth to share. Akhirnya gue cari cara gimana gue bisa ngajar. Jadi sekarang I know how to make syllabus, atau I know how to make the frame for syllabus at least, gitu loh. About what to teach, and sebelumnya kan gue nggak pernah ngajar, ya, boro-boro gue ngajar amit-amit. zaman itu kayak apaan guru, gue kayak I've been only doing this for like 10 plus years. Menurut gue waktu itu yang pantas untuk ngajar adalah ya mungkin pengalamannya 20 plus. Gue cuman kayak 10 plus, kayak almost 15 years gitu. Only 15 years. Probably it will take me like 5 more years untuk bisa ngajar dan untuk bisa kredibel di mata orang untuk ngajar gitu. Tapi ternyata I could do it. From that moment, gue juga ngerasa akhirnya, oh, you just have to dig deeper into yourself or dig deeper to the opportunities that you could make. Not only getting the opportunities, that people are making, but also make the opportunities for yourself. Gitu sih.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Kayak, that's why kemarin ini kan lo nanya sama gue, Nick, gue mau ngomong apa di podcast lo. Kadang ya, Hans itu tipe orang yang kayak, he feels sometimes he's like, ya emang he knows he's good at his shit, but he feels like it's not
and
something
also
that
I'm
he...
good looking.
That, okay. Hans is good looking, and he feels like he knows that he's good at his shit, but Hans is not the kind of guy to be like, oh, lo mau nge-MC, sini gue ngajarin lo. Enggak, Hans bukan tipe orang yang kayak, bukannya dia gak pede, Hans itu pede banget. Temen gue, salah satu temen gue yang pede banget itu adalah Hans. But, he is not, apa ya, GR kali ya, lo tuh gak GR. Jadi gue, lo tuh gak yang kayak, sini gue ngajarin lo apa yang, I've been doing for 15 years, ngerti kan?
Gue takut gitu, nah, jangan sampai, gue overconfident sampai akhirnya gue ngajarin hal yang salah karena gue ngerasa gue paling okay gitu. Kayak misalkan gini, lu bisa naik sepeda, tapi bukan berarti saat lu diajarin, lu diminta untuk ngajarin orang naik sepeda, lu bisa ngasih tahu gitu. Lu bisa naik sepeda? Bisa. Kayak gimana? Kayak gini. Terus lu bisa ngajarin gue? Enggak. Sebelum pandemik itu, I don't know if the things that has been working for me would work for other people gitu.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Karena apa yang di what works for you as a person because that it is you as a person, right? And sometimes like bener banget sih, like sometimes you're just a little bit afraid to be like, yes, I can teach you this, tapi lo juga takut yang kayak, aduh, kalau misalnya, like, it does, gak berhasil apa ya, gak berhasil, jadi kayak, oh, nanti orangnya nyalain lo, kayak, no, I can't, misalnya, gue gak bisa naik sepeda gara-gara lo, kata lo bisa ngajarin gue.
Iya.
Kan, I think
terus
that's what, yeah, which I totally,
juga takut
totally
gini
get.
Loh, gue juga takut tiba-tiba ada yang, misalkan nih, gue ajarin, terus ada yang mungkin lebih senior dari gue atau yang mungkin juga sama the duration of doing the shit sama gue, terus mereka ngelihat nih lu siapa yang ngajarin, diajarin Hans, oh that's not entirely true. Nah terus gimana gue tanggung jawabnya kalau lu buntutin anak orang, ketahuan tanggung jawabnya kawinin. Oh tiba-tiba kayak gitu, kayak lu salah ngasih ilmu, because I don't want to convey the wrong message. Sama kayak kalau lu misalkan nih lu ditanya, oh Nicole sebagai content creator mungkin bisa jadi narasumber, bisa jadi source di satu seminar misalkan, kayak what Fix has been doing all this time. Tapi kalau misalkan tiba-tiba Nicole diminta untuk jadi pembicara untuk let's say I don't know Singapore diaspora gitu. Kayak, oh, huh? Emang gimana? Gue tahu emang how does it feel to be diaspora gitu. Kayak gak tahu, gue takut salah tiba-tiba kayak orang yang kayak gitu kan.
Iya, ngerti banget sih. Nah, so actually since then, I mean udah pasti kan kerjaan lo dari 2019 sampai sekarang 2021. What has changed for you professionally? Kayak sekarang I know that you still MC some events and there are online events as well. Tapi sekarang ada nggak sih kayak not really a hobby, but more of like I guess it's a job that you've taken up yang kayak, okay, I didn't expect that I would be doing this now. Tapi karena the pandemic happened, and sometimes things like things as shitty as the pandemic are the reasons that get you to do things that you thought you'd never do. Ada nggak sih sekarang kayak lo udah kerjaan sekarang yang kayak, oh shit, I didn't know I would ever do this.
This actually I left behind last Idul Fitri, jadi last Lebaran. Say so back when I was actually jobless.
Setahun dong pas.
Setahun, tapi I stopped doing that setahun yang lalu berarti. Setahun 11 bulan lah, karena kan kalau Lebaran kan mundur sebulan. Lo tau gak nih kayak itu? Lebaran mundur sebulan.
Tahu, aku tahu kok.
Oh, kamu tahu.
Okay. Tahu aku.
Yeah. Orang asing yang mikir kayak setahun aja gitu.
Enggak, okay, terus.
Yeah, jadi back when I was still jobless because all my schedules were not delayed but cancelled entirely around March-ish. Jadi pas my last gig was I can still remember it. 14 of February because it was Valentine's Day. It was for Nivea. It was for Nivea di Bandung. That was actually my last gig. And I was expecting some more gigs starting the week after. And then also some around March gitu. Also for some high-end brands yang kau pikir asik. Gua bisa dapet diskon nih anjing. Gua bisa beli tas cakep. Beli sepatu cakep gitu atau you know, things like that and everything was cancelled. Terus around 2 bulan atau 3 bulan setelah pandemic, March, April, May. No, 2 bulan. 2 bulan setelah pandemic, practically all those times I was just living out of my savings kan. Out of my savings gitu. Jadi gue pikir, wah lama-lama tabungan gue nipis nih, udah kagak lagi, kita miskin beneran cuy. Akhirnya gue mikir mesti ngapain, mau apa. And the idea came to me in a split seconds when I was going to a traditional market. Gue pergi ke pasar sama tante gue. Terus gue lihat ada, I don't know if you know it ya. Lo kan mungkin taunya Choy Pan, Somai, Bapau ya, Nick.
Apa?
Ini gue lihat ada, kalau di pasar tuh ada jajanan pasar gitu loh, Nick. Klepon.
Jajanan pasar gue tahu lah, Hans.
Boong.
Boong. Tahu gue. Tahu, cuman gue gak bisa makan klepon kan.
Boong. Oh iya. Ya boong, paspor lo jauh Singapura, mana lo tahu klepon?
Gue tahu kok klepon.
Lo tahu ya?
Ada yang mirip-mirip juga kok di sini.
Apa?
Ada, gue nggak tahu namanya tuh.
Kan lu bohong.
Terus?
Iya, jadi kayak klepon, cenil, you know, some kind of kayak Thai cassava gitu yang singkong pakai pakai kelapa and everything actually yang lo nggak bisa makan karena kalau lo makan itu lo mati.
Iya, benar.
Pokoknya itu loh. Jadi kayak dia jualnya tuh satu tempat we call it tampah. You know the bamboo tray,
like a basket, right?
Like a basket, yeah, a bamboo basket gitu. So the whole thing was actually there. So gue seperti biasa sebagai insan sosial media, jadi kan gue insta story dong. Anjir, gue kangen banget nih mau makan makanan. And the responses were good. Like people are asking, itu beli di mana? Itu dapat di mana? Pas segala macam. I was thinking, okay, this could be something. So I was trying to make the opportunity for myself. I made this this catering. I call it catering. The catering for jajanan pasar. So I make like satu small bamboo basket gitu. We call it besek. Kalau orang Indonesia bilangnya besek. Jadi satu besek itu isinya ada sekitar 6 macam jajanan pasar. Ada klepon, ongol-ongol, sawut keju, sawut singkong, apalagi ya, klepon udah, apalah, lupis, si singkong rebus, apa gitu-gitu lagi deh. So
Terus Mil jual?
Gue jual. What I did was, karena gue cuma dua tante gue. Waktu itu tante gue ada tinggal sama kita di apartment. So, dia, gue tanya dia, tante bisa masak gak? Ini apa segala macam? Bisa, ini mah gampang apa segala macam. And from that moment, I learned lots of things. Not only, you know, personal values, but also technical values. Technical values meaning, gue gak pernah belajar COGS, Nick, seumur hidup gue. Lu tanya gue COGS 2 tahun lalu, tahun lalu deh. Sebelum pandemi, kayak sebelum pandemi, sebelum Februari gitu. Lu tanya gue COGS, tau gak? Kagak. Mana gue tau?
Iya, buat apa juga. Emang buat, it's not part of what you do in life anyway.
Iya, dulu yang paling gue pikirin gimana caranya untuk gue pulang dari lockdown selamat sampai rumah nganterin Nicole dulu. Ini asal lu tahu ya, Fix Sisters sama Mother Fixers, gue itu adalah designated drivernya Nicole.
Kita pause bentar ya. Kita take a pause di sini. Take a pause, coba. Apa-apa coba take a pause. We're gonna pause here and just reminisce about the times that I used to blackout drunk. And Hans basically was my designated driver. Dia nganterin gue pulang selalu.
Dan selalu.
Tapi gue nggak pernah ya. Gue nggak pernah muntah di mobil lo.
Lu itu yang gue salut dari Nicole. Dia nggak pernah muntah di mobil gue karena nyampe depan lobi parkiran apartemennya dia. Hans, tunggu bentar. Gue buka pintu bentar ya. Dia buka pintu. Dia muntah di depan. Dia masuk ke dalam. Ya muka gue lah diliatin satpam.
Eh, lu juga muntah waktu itu, lu gak inget? Lu buka pintu, terus lu muntah di parkiran gue, anjir, terus habis itu, yuk. Lu gak inget, Hans?
Iya.
Kok lu gak inget? Hans, waktu itu lu nyetir. Terus kayak, kita tuh lagi pulang dari lockdown juga.
Nah, ini mabok yang mana, Nick?
Lu mana gue tahu, Hans? Mana gue tahu?
Orang gue ngerti.
Gue gak tahu. Enggak, pokoknya lo buka lo nyetir kan, dan gue juga mabuk, kita sama-sama mabuk. Ini kayaknya malam yang, lo inget gak kita ada videonya yang gue buka jendela, terus gue bilang sama Putra, Putra, I love you. Terus kata Putra, fuck you. Gue bilang, fuck you tuh Putra, lo inget gak sih? Yang itu, gue lupa gue ngomong apa sama Putra ya. Pokoknya dia agresif gitu sama gue, jadi gue agresif balik. Terus lo sama gue pulang ke tempat gue, malam itu lo nginep. Pulang ke tempat gue, terus
anjir.
Ya kan,
iya, bener.
Terus habis itu lu nyetir, lu kayaknya fine-fine aja deh Hans, kayak muka lu tuh kayak biasa aja buat gue.
Oh, itu kalau mabok, kayak muka gue masih cakep.
Lu muka lu tuh biasa aja, gue kayak wah Hans nggak apa-apa ya, walaupun lu minum sama gue kan, tiba-tiba pas di parkiran sebelum lo parkir, benar ya Nick ya, lu buka pintu, lu muntah, habis itu lu tutup pintu, Hans, lu muntah. Iya, oke, abis itu lo parkir lagi.
Iya pokoknya gitu dah, terus gue kayak, gue tanya tante gue kan, tante gue bisa gak masak ini? Bisa, so what I did was, ya itu gue jual, dan itu soal COGS, gue gak tahu. Akhirnya gue tahu kalau COGS itu cost of goods sold, apa segala macam. Akhirnya gue ngitung, and then kalau lo mau bikin usaha makanan, you have to make, the recipe exact with the grammation. Jadi apa yang udah lo hitung, lo tahu berapa uangnya yang keluar, berapa uangnya yang masuk, and all the shit. Jadi tetap aja tante gue namanya juga ibu-ibu gitu, kadang-kadang suka masih kayak, aduh, tante semana garamnya? Seujung jari lah. Hah? Dari siapa? Jari gue? Dari bapak gue juga gedean jadi bapak gue. Jari gue apa jadi bapak gue nih?
Selalu gitu kan, selalu kalau masak orang tua tuh kayak gitu. Yeah, just enough, just like a fingernail. Like, dude, my fingernail is so small. Like, what's the difference?
It's kayak, oh, just like your tits. It's kayak tante.
How fucking dare you?
Terus kayak nyokap gue semana, secimit aja. Anjing, secimit tuh ukuran apa anjing?
Apa itu secimit?
Secimit tuh ya itu kayak. A pinch gitu. Cipit-cipit gitu. Nah, terus akhirnya gue coba jalanin itu. And I realized that my habit, my day-to-day activities always started at 7:30. It was waking up, directly waking up, drinking a glass of water. And then I started to pack everything. Karena basically my aunt had prepared everything. Udah matang gitu. And then I did pack it myself. I packed it myself. I washed my hands. I packed it myself. Lu bayangin gak lo? Dari satu besek isinya 6 dalam sehari, gue cuman bisa ngasilin, gue bisa packing 15 besek. Itu 15 gue bikinnya dari jam 9, baru selesai jam 12 with all the delivery. Gue pakai Lalamo waktu itu with all the delivery. Gue selesai 1:30. Jadi kehidupan gue itu mulai dari jam 7:30 and menyiapkan segala macam itu kemakan terus sampai 1:30. Terus I did that for the span of 20 days. On the 20th day, gue bisa bikin 45 besek dalam waktu only 2 hours. But on the 8th day, kalau gak salah, on the 8th day, gue bilang nyokap gue, astaga mah capek banget ya. And then at one moment gue masuk kamar, gue nangis nih. Gue nangis bukan karena anjir kok gini-gini amat, enggak. Gue nangis karena gue capek banget.
Ya, bener-bener
capek gitu, kayak gue gak pernah ngerasa. Bukannya gue gak bersyukur ya, bukan gue gak bersyukur dan gue melakukan pekerjaan gue selama ini gampang-gampang aja, enggak. Cuman gue gak pernah ngerasain secapek itu. Capek tuh bener-bener overwhelming gitu. Bener-bener overwhelming. Akhirnya I decided, okay, I can't live like this. At least gue udah nyobain apa yang gue gak pernah coba. Gue bikin catering sendiri, walaupun ini catering dessert. Gue berhenti di hari ke-20, pas banget, a day before Lebaran. So, I was still able to deliver everything untuk Lebaran orang-orang, jadi pesanan hampers. Hampers gitu. Akhirnya ya udah gua kirim yang terakhir, gua kayak alright, let's take a pause.
Yeah.
Terus mungkin gua akan resume in a week or two apa gitu gua. And then alright, okay. Terus gua hitung penghasilan gua, the revenue, terus udah gua kurang-kurangin production cost, I got my profit. You know, yang bikin gue lebih miris lagi, I was not actually hurting, but I felt so overwhelmed, even more overwhelmed. Pas gue itu my profit, it was not even one event for me back in the days. Yeah, profit gue tuh kayak cuman berapa ya? Okay, let's say gini deh. I'm just gonna open it bluntly. My rate kalau nge-MC starts at 10. 10 million. My profit, 10 million itu untuk cuma bahasa Indonesia ya. If you require me to do other languages, probably lebih mahal lagi. Atau kalau misalnya di luar kota atau apa, harganya lebih tinggi lagi gitu. My profit that time was only 7.5. By doing everything alone, terus having no life, terus kayak gue pakai nangis, tapi itu selama 20 hari. I got, I could get 10 million for only 4 hours minimum.
Yeah.
Back in
ini
the
sih day. Yang ini abis. Okay, so I think I definitely understand. Like where you're coming from, but what I can take from this is that walaupun emang gini, It was very, very time consuming. It's not that it's very difficult work. It's very time consuming work yang lo bangun jam berapa, lo baru selesai jam berapa, dan lo emang satu orang buat kerjain semua ini sendiri. It's not easy to do something like that because it takes up a lot of like your energy, but I think that you must have learned a lot from it. And I think that's the whole point of trying something new, especially in a time where, look, I don't know when the fuck the pandemic is going to be over. I don't know.
Nobody. Ini sekarang
aja di Singapura. Exactly. Sekarang aja di Singapura, things were going really well. Now things are getting really shitty again. And we know we're thinking, well, you know what? I don't know. I really have no idea when things are going to get better. But what we can do is try to do the things that are within our reach. Salah satu contoh misalnya, you tried to do this business. It's something that you tried. It maybe wasn't for you in the long run, tapi lo belajar banyak dari itu, dari experience. So, walaupun experience itu kayak cuman bentar doang kan, but I remember when you were going through this and I was like, okay, I'm definitely proud of you for trying something different. And even if you didn't continue it, at least you already know how to do it. Jadi kalau misalnya ke depannya, iya kan? Kalau misalnya nanti ke depannya lo kayak, I wanna maybe do a business again, lo udah tahu lo harus mulai dari mana. Then I think everything in life, look, life is all just one big fucking practice. You just have to practice in order for you to kind of get better and better at life.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is trial and error, right? Then kalau menurut gue, look, emceeing and talking to people is something that you're naturally good at. I think that's why it comes easy for you. Kadang ada orang yang emang introvert banget, dia gak bisa do what you're doing exactly. And maybe they prefer something like spending time in the kitchen by themselves doing orders and shit like that. Tapi emang it's something that you tried, but it's just not you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Probably, you know, I do cook, but I'm a home cook. You know, I cook for myself or I cook for my family members. I cooked for my friends. You know, for my friends to come over to my house and just, you know.
Beda. It's different.
Kalau lu udah bikin business, a culinary business, your cooking is actually, feels like a job.
Yes.
Feels like a job. It's not enjoyable anymore, gitu. Dan that moment gue ngerasa kayak, okay, I did what I did. I knew what I was actually trying to do. And now, since gue kayaknya gak mau balik lagi ke that moment, kalau misalkan, let's say, kan gue pakai dapur rumah gue gitu, dapur my apartment's kitchen gitu kan, gasnya juga gas ke pemakaian keluarga gitu loh. My family's use. Gue mikir kalau gue gak punya dapur sendiri, kalau gue gak punya tempat sendiri untuk bikin, kayak gue gak mau bikin deh. Terus gue juga, gue harus punya tenaga yang lain gitu. Kayak gue gak mau bikin.
Yeah.
Akhirnya gue cari cara lain, gue mesti ngapain ya, bisa apa ya. And then I met my housemates. One of them is actually the country manager for Cambridge University Press gitu. Practically, he is doing things in educations. And also his links is also about education gitu kan. Dia bilang, waktu kan gue curhat, gue ngapain ya Beb? Gue kagak tahu nih mau ngapain lagi. Kayak event belum jalan, apa segala macam. Terus dia bilang, lu tuh, you're good at what you are doing. MCing and publicity. Lu kenapa gak ngajar? Hah? Emang gue bisa yang ngajar? Ya ilah. It's naturally coming to you. Kalaupun misalnya lu mau gali lagi lebih dalam, lu bisa. Ntar gue kirimin deh templates-nya untuk art frame-nya untuk lu ngajar. Hah? Beneran? Akhirnya gue dikirimin. And then gue liat art frame apa frame-nya gitu. Gue bilang, kok nggak sesusah yang gue pikirin ya untuk ngajar. Sampai akhirnya the one of the opportunities untuk ngajar came from you and Putra. Remember yang dari Skill Academy by Ruang Guru
nawarin
kalian, tapi kalian nggak tahu mau ngajar apa, and then you guys gave
it to me. Iya, susah karena gue juga nggak di Jakarta sama Putra, dan gue sama Putra mau ngajarin produksi juga yang kayak ya kita juga nggak bareng gitu loh. Jadi gue bilang sama Putra, put kenapa ini nggak kita kasih ke Hans aja for public speaking, because you had such, I remember this because you had such a great idea to do a class on how to speak in, let's say, like a video call or a Zoom call. Mm. And sekarang karena kita semuanya jadi online ya, lo mau meeting sama orang kek, lo mau ada conference kek, or whatever it is, lo pakai Zoom.
Kita aja mabok pakai Zoom.
Iyalah, kita shooting aja pakai Zoom sekarang. Tapi maksud gue tuh, you had such a great idea to do this because etiquette of like Zoom and how to make yourself look good on a video call, not everybody can do it, dude. I mean, I see people.
No,
kadang ya gue nonton berita ya, gue nonton berita terus ada orang kayak, okay, someone's calling in pakai Zoom. Dia angle-nya dari bawah, kelihatan jelek. Terus si apa audionya tuh nggak bagus gitu loh. And I think that was such a great thing for you to think about because in a day and age where everything we're gonna do is gonna be online, people need to learn how to like make themselves look good. Gue sekarang aja gue meeting sama klien gue nggak pakai celana, gue cuma pakai celana dalam sama atasan bagus, terus gue pakai make up udah. Dan dia nggak tahu kan kalau di bawah tuh gue nggak pakai apa-apa.
Nah itu dia yang akhirnya gue gali lagi. Waktu itu kan gue bilang sama orang Skill Academy-nya, okay, gue bisa mungkin ngajar public speaking. Terus dia bilang, kalau public speaking kita udah ada beberapa, mungkin ditahan dulu ya Hans. And then that was when my initiative kicked in. Kayak gue mau bikin apa ya, tapi pokoknya gue harus dapat project ini because I need the money.
Yes.
Gue harus dapat project ini. Gimana? Akhirnya gue gali lagi ngapain ya? You know, from public speaking point of view, ngapain ya yang berhubungan sama pandemik? Akhirnya gue bisa dapet lah tema namanya how to inspire people through your virtual public speaking. Because we've been doing YouTube for a while, Nick.
Yes. Ya kan?
We've been doing YouTube for a while and not lots of people are actually getting the point of how to make a good shooting plan. Kalau shooting plan secara teknis gue gak bisa deh. Tapi secara konten itu juga harus direncanain gitu kan. Gimana? How to make a good content with doing some scripts. Abis itu gimana caranya lo bisa ideally putting yourself in the frame of the camera. Terus gimana lo bisa doing a good storytelling? How can you actually looking? How can you be looking presentable in front of the camera? Terus kayak what kind of public speaking that you are doing in front of the camera? Segala macam gitu-gitu deh. Akhirnya I came up with that. Terus dia bilang, okay, let's do it. Itu aja. Gue tuh bikin silabusnya. Itu ada kali 2 bulan. Karena gue gak pernah bikin sebelumnya kan. Gue gak pernah bikin sebelumnya gitu. Gue gak pernah bisa kayak nulis. Ya kayak tadi deh kalau gue bilang, lu bisa naik sepeda gak? Bisa. Bisa ngajarin gue? Gak bisa. Nah sekarang waktu gue bikin si silabus itu, gue harus cari tahu gimana caranya untuk naik sepeda. As simple as how do you grab the handle? Gimana caranya lo megang stangnya? Oh,
step by stepnya gitu.
Oh, buka tangan lo lebar-lebar yang dua telapak tangan lebar-lebar. Terus tempatin di stangnya. Terus genggam stangnya yang tangan kiri 3 jarinya megang rem depan. Terus angkat kaki lo sebelah, bisa sebelah kanan atau sebelah kiri, melangkah ke sisi lain dari sepeda, kayak gitu-gitu nih.
Yeah, ngerti.
I never did that before, and then I had to learn it myself because nobody knew my topic. Kayak nobody ever did my topic before, so I should be the only one who was doing it. Gitu akhirnya out of okay, aku masih miskin, aku akhirnya bikin lah itu semuanya. Ditambah lagi waktu itu self-esteem gue juga agak menurun karena di saat teman-teman MC gue lainnya mereka udah mulai banyak banget event virtual, mereka banyak conducting virtual events, kok nobody reach out to me ya? Apa am I not good enough doing the virtual or don't they need my talent or kayak oh berarti orang lain lebih bagus.
So definitely your self confidence was a little bit like which is understandable. I think buat banyak orang juga sih yang kayak when things change in your life, definitely yourself, especially something that has to do with your career, your self confidence and where you got that confidence from udah pasti yang kayak menurun lah, itu sih udah pasti.
Yeah, but, gitu.
I mean, okay, so from what I've seen so far, I think that like a lot of people, banyak yang emang berubah ya dari the beginning of the pandemic and until now. And I think some people are trying their best to, well, everyone is kind of just trying their best. It's all we can do. But do you have some advice for people who are a little bit stuck? Gue tuh lagi banyak, gini, I have a lot of friends right now who are still with some of their jobs or have new jobs, but they, I think a lot of people have gone through this thing where since the pandemic started, something has changed in them. And then they kind of realize like, oh, I don't really know if I like doing what I'm doing anymore. Gue gak suka deh kerjaan gue. Kayak ini kerjaan gue tuh, kayak like, it's not right for me. Or maybe they want to try something different. Kayak gini, I have a job. I don't completely love my job. But you don't always have to love your job. It's what, you know, it's what pays my bills. Tapi there are things that I do outside of my job that make me happy. For example, like yoga, right? And do you have any advice for people who are kind of doing things, who kind of want to do things differently? Karena kalau menurut gue, you've done a pretty good job of picking yourself up and trying out different things and seeing what works for you at a time when a lot of shit is like, there's just a lot of shit in the fucking world, right? So,
like you.
Lo ada advice gak buat, no, I'm my shit smells nice. Lo ada advice gak buat orang-orang yang mungkin, maybe they were in the same boat as you were a few months ago when you were a little bit like, shit, I don't really know where my self-confidence is. I don't know what I should do next. Any advice for people like that?
It's hard for me to say that I have any advice for other people or not, because what I've experienced came to me in the time of pressure. Gue nggak bisa bilang ke orang-orang bahwa oh kalau lo mau cari opportunities apa segala macam lo harus gini lo harus gitu, because it came to me, gue udah nggak tahu lagi mau kemana, gue kejepit, baru gue bisa nyari hal apa yang bisa gue kerjain. Dan ini juga mungkin terjadi sama orang-orang lain gitu, di masa-masa sulit mereka. Mungkin mereka udah ngelewatin the hard times and stuff, and in times of pressure of their own, mereka ngerasa, oh, this is what I do best, this is what I can process the whole time, then this is what I am doing to survive the pressure gitu. Jadi kalau advice nggak bisa sih. I cannot generalize what people are doing at the moment. Karena if you don't have the privilege to try new things and still be able to survive, you automatically, you would do the things that you've been doing to survive.
Yes.
Kalau lu nggak punya privilege itu gitu, kayak,
yes.
Let's say kalau misalnya sekarang, I have the privilege untuk splurge some money untuk belajar Mandarin.
Okay.
Say 1 year ago, lu suruh gua belajar Mandarin, I don't have the privilege.
Yeah.
Kenapa gue mau belajar Mandarin? Karena this is what I've been wanting to learn this whole time. This also for my job and stuff like that. Tapi di setahun yang lalu, uang gue untuk belajar Mandarin ini, mendingan buat gue bayar cicil mobil, misalnya gitu. Karena my income was actually very limited. Itu kalau sekarang misalkan lu belajar yoga, you have the time and money untuk belajar yoga.
Yes, betul.
You still have something to rely on other than your yoga or my Mandarin class gitu. Tapi then again, just hang on there. You'll find your way as long as you want to, when you need to.
As long as you want to. Yes, this is what I am definitely for that because barusan gue bawa kayak, Hans, lo positif dikit dong. Ini kayak kita kasih harapan ke orang. Tapi the last bit of what you were saying is what I've been feeling this like lately as well.
Kalo doain gue positif sini?
Hus, kita tuh kayak, apa ya?
Baru vaksin. I think,
gue kan belum. Kok lo vaksin duluan ya? I think it's very difficult to let yourself get into this downside slope yang kayak, aduh, pandemic masih gini, kita belum bisa ketemu, gue belum bisa travel, lo masih, so many things that you can fucking think about. There are days when I put the news on and I'm like, oh my god, this world is so shit, right? But you can choose happiness and you can choose to do the things. Like, I think you're such a good example of you chose because you needed to make yourself money and you also wanted to, right? And these are the things that you want to do. Kalau emang lo mau, and if you can put your mind to it, then I don't want to be so fucking like weird about it. I don't want to say like, oh, anything is possible. But not, okay, look, we can't create miracles. Yeah, I know, right? We're not trying to create miracles. We're not saying that, like, you know, it's fucking magic or anything. But kalau emang lo mau, lo niat, then you have the willpower to do something. I think you will figure things out about yourself that you didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's kind of the example that I think you're such a great example of that.
Probably one only good thing that you've been talking about.
And Mother Fixers and Sister Fixers, if you would like to learn more about Hans's journey, you can head to his Instagram handle, Hans Lango. I'll put that into the caption.
Salah.
Huh?
Hans.lango.
Oh yeah, yeah, tahu.
Mister Dot. Lu bukan
sorry,
temen
sorry.
Gue sih.
Kan gue taruh di caption.
Taruh di caption.
sebelum ini kita closing segala macam, there's usually we ask a bunch of questions to people, like if I have a guest that I don't really know that well, tapi karena lo sama gue emang sahabat kan, kita sahabat kan, Hans?
Enggak, belum tentu sih.
Okay, jadi I'll ask you just a few of them, okay, and just try to answer with the first answer that comes to your mind, and you know, just answer honestly as you can, okay? So Hans, if I opened up your Instagram feed right now, yang bakal muncul itu apa? Lo lagi sering lihat apa nih?
My tits.
Hah? What are your tits sih?
Habis, lo belakangan kan gue bisa di marah tua. Lo akan lihat gue topless mulu.
Bukan your profile. Maksud gue feed lo. Kalau lo search kan, ada feed kan?
Iya.
Apa coba?
Fitness journey.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, which I would definitely believe that's true. Yeah. Okay, Hans, what is your biggest achievement? Temenan sama gue.
Ya enggak juga sih nih. My biggest achievement, I'm able to provide for my family.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a very, very good one. And what, how do you think people will remember you?
Bright.
Huh?
Bright.
Bright, like,
yeah.
Terang.
Very bright and colorful.
Oh, that is true. That is very true. That's a good one.
Don't you think I'm colorful? All. My life is colorful.
I think you are very colorful. Your days are very colorful. Sekarang sih kalau misalnya gue ke Instagram lo, Instagram Hans sekarang kayak kadang gue lihat kayak ini temen gue, cakep banget nih temen gue. Foto lo tuh lagi cakep banget yang kayak manly gitu tau nggak?
Anjing, lo ke sebelah gue jelek.
Enggak gitu, Hans. Tapi you did go through a phase when your hair was funky as fuck. I was like, what? I don't know. It was a weird comb back or something. I can't remember what the fuck it was. But you have evolved. You have evolved. Just like your spirit, you have evolved. Asik. Asik. All right, Mother Fixers and Sister Fixers. If you'd like to learn more about Hans, you can follow him at his Instagram, which I'll put down into the caption. Hans, always a pleasure. Gue kangen banget sama lo. Gue kangen mabok sama lo. Gue kangen lo nganterin gue pulang terus kita mabok. Gue kangen mabok sama lo. Terus kita pulang. Lo nganterin gue pulang terus kita muntah berdua. Gue kangen banget saat-saat itu. And thanks so much for being on the show.
We call each other almost every day, but yeah.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, nothing would change the feeling of Hans. Lo ke rumah gue dong. Ngapain nih? Yeah. Gue masak makanan. Oke, Nick. Bagus. Gue hemat.
Iya kan? Gue kangen banget gitu. Kayak lo ke rumah gue. Terus lo yaudah lo duduk aja situ. Kita gak usah ngomong banyak.
Kita gak ngomong. Hans.
Iya kan? Just sit there. Nick, and I'm like, Hans, did you see J-Lo? J-Lo and Bennifer, they're back together, yo.
Iya, terus omongan kita tuh kagak ada yang berpendidikan gitu. Kayak ngomongin J-Lo sama Bennifer gitu.
kangen. All right, Mother Fixers and Sister Fixers, thank you so much for listening to our bullshit. We're almost at the end of season 2. We have one more episode left. Stay tuned for that. A big thank you to Hans for coming on to the show. This is Fix PMS, where the real talk gets real, and we feel all the feels. Bye-bye.
Bye.